Well, whenever we share a meal with other people, when we take food and drink with other people, it is always more than a meal. There's something larger and more spiritual that is happening. Because when we take food and drink with others, when we share food with others in a meal, it denotes fellowship and friendship and celebration and mutual interests and shared feelings or experiences. And that is why we usually don't invite to a meal someone whom we mistrust or dislike. Unless, of course, the mistrust is breaking down and we invite them to a meal as an offering of a renewed friendship and reconciliation. So a meal is always a sign of communion and friendship and unity. And that is why it is so insulting if somebody refuses our invitation to a meal for no good reason. And that's what happened to the king in today's gospel parable. He has this great banquet prepared. He's all excited. And the people who are invited don't come, and they don't have any good reason. They just simply are not interested. Now, when Jesus told this gospel parable, he addressed it to the chief priests and the elders, and they were no dumb bunnies. They got the point. They knew their scriptures. They were familiar with the scriptures that talk about the image of God's lavish banquet, such as the prophet spoke in our first reading. And they knew that this image of God's banquet was a sign of God's victorious reign. And so they heard Jesus saying to them, you know, when you reject me, you are rejecting my Father's invitation to the reign of God. You are rejecting the reign of God. Well, that's all well and good to understand that, but it doesn't stop there. Because this parable says some important things for us describing what the kingdom of God is like. The parable does not stop with the refusal to the invitation, as we heard, but it goes on. The king then sends out his guys to gather in everybody to fill the wedding hall with guests, anybody they can find, good and bad alike, we hear. Good and bad alike. And there's two important things that we can learn from that, two lessons. Number one, none of us has an automatic right to a place at God's banquet table. It cannot be earned. It is God's free invitation, God's free gift of grace to us. And number two, the second lesson we can learn from that, is that we are invited to God's banquet table with others, with good and bad alike. And that reminds us of one of the two essential and constitutive characteristics of our Christian religion, as opposed to other religions. And that is that our religion is a communal religion. There is no such thing as private Christianity. Jesus, at the Last Supper, which was a foretaste of the Messianic banquet, noticed that he did not sit down with one of his good buddies and have a meal. But he gathered 12 around the table. And what else that happened at that meal was that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, so there was, that meal included intimacy and care for others and service. And so that's what coming to God's banquet table is about. We are invited with others. An isolated Christian is a contradiction in terms. There are no private tables at the Lord's banquet. Christianity is not just about me and Jesus. That is not the nature of the kingdom. Much as some days we would like it to be that way, like on those days when we sympathize with what Charlie Brown said when he said, no, I do love humankind, it's just people I can't stand. And so maybe we feel like that sometimes. But, you know, But this, our religion is not about that. It's not the nature of the kingdom that we come to the Lord by ourselves, but we are invited to the Lord's banquet table together. And that's good and bad alike, you know. You know, I've heard it before many times, and I'm sure you've heard it too. Some people say, oh, I stopped going to church, you know, all those hypocrites. Well, you know, that shouldn't surprise us. That shouldn't surprise us because the church is not composed of perfect people. Let me tell you a secret. There are no perfect people anywhere. No one is perfect. And so the church, of course, is not composed of perfect people, but the church rather is composed of sinners. That was one of the accusations leveled against Jesus, wasn't it? He was accused of welcoming sinners and eating and drinking with them. So the point of that is not so I can then conclude, okay, I just have to try and put up with all these other sinners in church. No, the point is that I am one of those sinners. I am one of those less worthy who somehow, by God's grace, found entrance into his kingdom. Praise be God. So, I'm one of them. But, as we know, the parable then still goes on. Not only are good and bad alike invited to come to the Lord's table, but we also hear that we cannot choose, and we cannot get smug and complacent about saying, well, yes, I'm a sinner, God loves me, I can come to his table. You know, we can't be smug and complacent about that. We cannot choose a lifestyle of sin in disobedience to God and find a place at the Lord's table. That's the third part of this parable. Because as we heard, the king comes into the banquet hall and somebody, one of those, that big crowd that was filled the house, you know, good and bad alike, somebody was improperly dressed. And he was cast out. He did not have a wedding garment. So what is this wedding garment? St. Gregory the Great says the wedding garment is love. So we can't be complacent in our sin. But we are called to conversion. We are called to love. And so we come to this banquet table aware of our need to change. Even though we are sinners, we are aware of our need to change. Seeking once again in coming to this table to love God without measure and to love the other sinners who come to the table with us. We come to the table accepting the invitation of the God who is all love, who, like anyone who invites someone else to share a meal with them, does so because he wants to have friendship and fellowship with us. So let us not refuse that invitation. To the praise of our God of grace, amen.